next on All Access.
Today we take another game in the division, man.
If you ain't jacked up for this game, you're dead, all right?
Brady with a play pick and an open. Aaron Dodson down the right side, headed to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
You made the plays you needed to make to win. All right, that's what's important. All right, you got to keep making them.
Oh, my biggest goal this year is just to become a better player. You know, a better teammate, a better 95. I try to stay away from numbers, but just to do better than I did last year overall.
Everybody was there, and then Coach Belichick and Mr. Kraft. I looked out there and I said, this is pretty much everyone, almost everyone who's been important to me in my career.
Don't give out awards for style points. Winning ugly is still winning. And after 2 weeks, the Patriots are 2-0. Welcome to Patriots All Access, presented by GEICO. I'm Steve Burton. Patriots have a chance to do something they haven't done in 6 years. Let's go 3-0 to start the season. Standing in their way are the 0-2 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We'll preview the game, but we first start with a look back at the win over the Jets.
The sounds of the game are brought to you by Bose, the official sound of the New England Patriots.
Everything we got, very first play. Everything we got.
Hey, forget what they talking about. Today we take another game in the division, man.
If you ain't jacked up for this game, you're dead, all right?
Short drop, quick set, and a throw to the near side for Edelman. Curls upfield along the near sideline, and he has a first down. Quick hitter, Brady with a play pick, and an open. Aaron Dodson down the right side, headed to the end zone. Touchdown!
Great throw, great catch. Rookie gets his first touchdown.
That's it. Keep playing like that. Hey, right, keep playing like that.
Nice job, Tommy.
Nice job, baby. On these most short throws, just take what you can. I need you all game.
Go deep. Got a man out there broken up. Kyle Arrington. Knock it away.
Hey, Kyle. Nice job knocking that out of there, okay?
It's a monsoon here to start the second half.
Delayed handoff to Powell. Drilled in the backfield by the penetrating Rob Ninkovich.
Good on the running game now. Okay, good job of playing technique on the running game.
Shotgun snap to Smith. Fires toward the far side. Intercepted. The ball will be returned down the left side by Aqib Talib. Moves inside the 35, and he's hit out of bounds at the 32-yard line after his second interception of the night.
Whatever it takes, fellas. Whatever it takes.
Any day of the week.
Great. Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it.
We'll take it. We'll take it.
Good job, man. Nice job. Kyle, good job, man.
Yes, sir.
Great job. Great job.
Good one.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You got it.
No, the Dodd is the best.
Congratulations. 2-0. It's a good win. All right, we get a little break here, and we've got to really get rolling. We've got to play better, but play good enough to win two games in the division. That's a good start. Congratulations, man. It's a tough, hard-fought game, like it usually is in this division, just like it was last week. You made the plays you needed to make to win. All right? That's what's important. All right, we got to keep making them. All right, congratulations. Good job, man. Good job. Moving on. Moving on.
Hi, I'm Bob Soucy, the voice of the Patriots for 98.5 The Sports Hub. Last Thursday, in far from ideal circumstances, the Patriots had to grind out a win over a division rival. This Sunday, they're likely to face a similar struggle against a very good Tampa Bay defense. The Bucs have lost twice, but by only 3 points. The Patriots have won twice by a mere 5 points. Still, though we're a long way from January, if the Patriots can pull out another win on Sunday, they'll move a step closer to where ultimately every NFL team wants to be by season's end. And that's the view from the booth. For Patriots All Access, I'm Bob Soucy.
Time now for Coffee with the Coach, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Time now to talk to the coach, and Coach Belichick joins me now. And Coach, before we get into Tampa, let's touch on the New York Jet game a little bit. And I think a lot of people are interested in some of the stuff you see on the sideline, like game operation. You know, you jot down some notes, but in between series, you flip through some cards, and I don't know if that's a Polaroid picture from up top. But say when weather moves in, like it did in the second half, how do you adjust that? Do you continue to do that? What's the next move when weather kind of just comes upon you like that?
Put them in plastic.
Put them in plastic. It's that simple, huh?
Yeah, keep them dry. We have Polaroid shots of each play, offense, defense, special teams. And so sometimes that helps us figure out exactly what happened on the play, or maybe there's something that we want to show a player. Here's the position. This is, where you want to be, or this is what this play looks like, or how to anticipate it, or something like that. But, it's a good coaching tool.
You really ran the ball well up in Orchard Park, and then the Jets come to town, you start to run at the beginning of the game. We've already just talked about the weather. But towards the end, you kind of stopped running it. Was it a product of you guys weren't blocking it upright, or the Jets were doing something where they just stoned you up front?
Yeah, well, we weren't getting a lot of production out of it, so whatever the combination of things are, it's hard to keep calling plays that aren't being very productive. And hopefully we'll have more consistency in the running game, on a weekly basis. But as you know, when you run the ball, then everything else kind of falls into place. It helps the passing game, helps your play action, helps your third down. So, we've got to do a better job there.
When guys are out because of injury, and maybe there's a lot of new guys that are out there trying to produce, do you tend to have to gear things back and make it a little more vanilla offensively, or is it we're going to open everything up and go attack?
Well, I think it depends on, who the people are and what they're comfortable with. But I think you got to do what you can do. And if you can't do it, then you can't do it. And, some experienced players, even though they move to different positions, can, adapt to it and have a bigger volume of information and plays that we can run. But the only plays we try to run out there are the ones that we think we know, that we're confident in, we think we know what we're doing on. Believe me, there are plenty of plays in practice and I'm not getting run the games just because we just don't feel like we have it good enough. So not that the ones in the games are perfect by any stretch, yeah. But those are the ones we feel the most confident in.
And when you have certain guys that are out, without naming names, you get guys that come off of injuries, do you have to kind of gauge them, like maybe with a pitch count? You look at a baseball player, he might be on a pitch count. Or when that guy's back, do you say, all right, he's back full? Full go.
Yeah, well, I think it depends on the player and what injury it is he's dealing with and how much conditioning mm-hmm. and how much opportunity he's had to practice. A guy that's missed 1 week can probably go back in there and do what he needs to do the next game. A guy that's missed several weeks, then you have to think about whether he's really ready to play a full game or not and how you want to play him, how you want to utilize the snaps that you're going to have him for in the game, how to get the most out of him.
All right, good stuff, Coach. Thanks a lot. Coach will return later in the show as we talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But first, more of All Access right after this.
Coming up on All Access.
We'll find out why Stephen Ridley loves football.
It's the only sport that you can physically take somebody out or be the one taken out.
And later, we'll take an inside look into the Hall of Fame ceremonies honoring Teddy Bruschi.
Ryan, looking out into the crowd that day, it encapsulated my entire career.
Inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame, Teddy Bruschi.
You're watching Patriots All Access.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Putnam Investments, proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence for 75 years. And by Gillette, the official shave of the Patriots. And by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Patriots All Access is presented by GEICO.
Put my city on and my committee on. I got everybody looking at me.
What I love about football is it's the only sport that you can physically take somebody out or be the one taken out. So it's a contact sport. You got to be tough. You got to be a hard-nosed player. And it's America's favorite game, I'd have to say.
Stephen Ridley blasting right up the middle. Boy, is he quick.
My dad, my brother, my uncle, and pretty much all my cousins are football players. They all play quarterback. I was the only running back in the family. I pretty much feel like I fell in line to play ball. You know, I watched my older brother play in high school and receiving a scholarship to go and play football. You know, it showed me what really could be out there, you know, for me. I would say my brother motivated me the most to go out there and, you know, chase my dreams.
Stephen Ridley putting on a show here this afternoon.
The player I looked up to the most when I was coming up would have to be Emmitt Smith, and that's why I wear number 22. So it's funny, my dad was a huge Raiders fan, but I was a fan of Emmitt Smith and the Cowboys, so that was my favorite player by far.
Stephen Ridley,
that's a stud run right there.
I can say this from my football experiences, they have all been a good one, on and off the field. I mean, I have many memories I can tell my kids, and it's a major part of my life. And so I think it's made me the man that I am today.
Ridley and the running game need to step up and help out the offense. Welcome back to All Access, everyone, presented by GEICO. Injuries continue to mount for New England. Dan Roach checks in on a banged-up Patriots team.
Brady with a play, making it open. Aaron Dodson down the right side, headed to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
They weren't dominating wins by any means, but after 2 weeks, the Patriots are just one of eight teams in the NFL that are off to a 2-0 start. And for a guy who came here from Oakland having never experienced a finish above 500 in his 9 Raiders seasons, 2-0 suits him just fine.
A victory is a victory. You know, I'd rather have ugly wins than pretty losses any day. You know, I had a lot of pretty losses in my career, so I take the ugly wins.
Meanwhile, after averaging just under 35 points per game a season ago, the Patriots come in averaging 18 points per game through the first 2 weeks.
I don't think anybody on this team's happy where they want to be, starting with myself, and I definitely didn't get off to the start that I wanted, and, you know, I'll man up and say that, and, you know, for me, I've got to do better for my team, and also this team has just got to work that much harder.
The Pats continue to rack up early season injuries as well. Danny Amendola and Matthew Slater are both on the shelf, while the world awaits the return of Gronk, who continues to practice with the team.
There's really nothing new to report, and I'm just day to day and progressing every week and progress significantly since last week and day to day.
As for this week's opponent, the Buccaneers are off to an 0-2 start, but those two losses have come by a combined 3 points. Tampa is also a team that the Patriots practiced with during training camp and played in preseason in game number 2.
You really can't take too much out of the preseason game because both of it is just a lot of vanilla offense, a lot of vanilla defense.
Once again last week, the Patriots forced a turnover, meaning in the last 29 straight games, the Pats have forced at least one turnover. That's the current best streak in the NFL, and it dates back for the Pats to the 2011 season. As far as the all-time record goes, it'll be tough to catch. The Philadelphia Eagles accomplished that, going 71 straight games with at least one forced turnover. That went from 1985 to 1990. From the CBS scene here in Foxborough, I'm Dan Roach for Patriots All Access.
All right, Roachie, thank you very much. Joining me now is Patriots defensive end Chandler Jones. And Chandler, the first thing I want to ask you, now that you're in your second year, what have you learned? What has been the biggest difference from year one to year two?
I'm a lot more comfortable, to say.
Are you?
Yeah. I don't want to use the word comfortable, actually. Experience, I will say. You know, when we go against teams, and actually teams that we've played before, like Tampa, a certain situation that we're playing this weekend, you see certain things. You know, you go out there and you see certain formations that offensive coordinators do or certain tendencies that certain players have, and just having that experience helps you out.
Last year you played a lot on the outside. Now you've moved down a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Tell me the difference and why.
It's a lot different. You know, you mean when you're playing defensive end, you know, there's 9 times out of 10, no one's outside of you. And when I'm playing down in the 3 technique or a 2 technique, it's closer to the center, and there's a tackle outside of you, possibly a guard, or maybe a center could block you. So you can get a lot of different blocks.
Is it harder playing in?
I wouldn't say it's harder. It's different. It's a lot different. It's a different beast. You know, that's the number one definition of trenches. When I hear trenches, I think of down there in the 3, not on the edge.
Not on the edge.
Not on the edge. So playing down there is fun. It's really fun. You know, Bill asked me to do it. It's part of the game plan, and I've been loving it. I've been loving it ever since.
You got to tell me about your family. Mm-hmm. You have two brothers. A few brothers, that is, but you got one playing for Baltimore,
right?
And the other, MMA champion.
Oh, heavyweight champion of the world. I brag about him all the time. He has a fight this Saturday. unfortunately, I won't be able to watch it because we'll be getting ready for Tampa.
For Tampa.
But my brother, actually, I support him all the time. This is the Bones Jones shirt I'm wearing right here. But I'm very happy for them.
You know,
my
brother,
he's wild. He's different. He's different. You know, for you to go out there and to fight a man, you know, just mono. You know, football, it's 11 guys on each side of the ball.
With equipment.
Exactly, and you're padded. So when you go out there and you just got small padded gloves on and you're fighting to the death almost, you know, and I get more nervous for his fights.
I was going to say, do you worry about
it? Oh, yeah, I get really nervous. Really.
And then your other brother plays for Baltimore.
And my other brother plays for Baltimore. He's doing well. He had a sack this week, so he's doing good.
Do you guys talk every week?
We try to. We compare stats a little bit. We're very competitive. Always comparing stats. What'd you do this week? What'd you do? So I'm up now, so hopefully we can keep that going through the season.
Hey, good luck to you.
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Chandler Jones, our guest. We'll be back with more Patriots All Access right after this.
Ever wondered what it feels like to be a member of the New England Patriots? Now is your chance to find out. This season, the Patriots are continuing the Ultimate Road Trip Raffle, offering fans the VIP experience of a lifetime, with the grand prize winner being awarded the opportunity to travel with the team to an away game. To purchase tickets and learn more about this promotion, visit patriots.com/community.
Hi, I'm Christian Fourier with this week's edition of the SBLI Point Counterpoint Debate. All right, it looks like Gronk maybe, possibly, might return to the field to play a game. The question is, if he does return, will he have an immediate impact?
I have a feeling Patriots Nation is running out of patience. Well, you know what? Too bad. Gronk hasn't played football since last year. It's going to take him a little time to get acclimated. In the meantime, patience.
When he gets on the field, Rob Gronkowski is going to be what he has always been, an impact player. We're hearing that the Patriots are being overly cautious. That's even better news. When we get the full health clearance, Gronk's going to do what he does, and that's go full speed. We saw it last year against the Dolphins. He was even half speed, scored a touchdown. This offense needs it. Gronk's going to be back when he's out there.
All right, the answer is yes. Why? The Patriots rank last in the NFL in tight end receptions. I mean, that effect, that impact will be seen right away. All right, I'm Christian Fourier, and that's this week's edition of the SBLI Point Counterpoint Debate.
For the most compelling Patriots talk in season, listen to Patriots Football Weekly in Progress every Tuesday through Thursday from noon to 2 p.m.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access, presented by GEICO. Coach Belichick rejoins me now as we talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I remember sitting in here about a month ago, the joint practices. First of all, it started with the Philadelphia Eagles, then it was Tampa here at home. How much do those intra-squad so-called practice sessions help you prepare for a team, especially when you face them three games into the regular season?
Yeah, I'd say not a whole lot. Of course, we've been on the field with them. We have a little bit of familiarity mm-hmm. with their personnel. But, you know, those games, practices and the game were more of, you know, us running what we want to run, them running what they want to run, trying to put our players out there and evaluate how they're doing on the basics, not game planning, not trying to scheme up, plays or stop anything in particular, but just try to play our basic stuff and learn how to play it well and work on our fundamentals. And we had a lot of people playing in the game and as they did. So, it's hard to create a lot of special things when you have that many guys in and out anyway. So, you know, now we're in a whole different, you know, it's a whole different matchup. And we very specifically can game plan for Tampa, their players with our players. And there's a lot fewer variables. And I think it's a very different dynamic this time around.
And I think they've changed a little defensively. I'm not going to sit here and ask you whether or not Darrell Revis is a good player. I think that's been answered. But when you face a guy like you have for two times a year, he played in your division, goes to another team, does that help you, your prior experience against that player, or it's just a whole other scheme, different situation for him?
Well, no. I think we've seen him play just about everything. We've seen him play press man, off man, two deep zone, three deep zone, blitz coverage. So, he's an outstanding player, and I think that the way he's playing it at Tampa is very similar to the way he played those different coverages at the Jets whenever they get called. So we definitely have a background with him, and and a lot of respect for him and the game that he plays.
All right, Coach, time now for the Ace Ticket Twitter question of the week, and it comes from MAW12, and he said, through the first 2 weeks, not necessarily on your team, but you look across the league, a lot of sloppy play out there through 2 weeks. Do you attribute that to maybe some of the practice changes, the new rules in the National Football League, and how that's approached?
I don't think any team right now is probably executing the way they will in the middle of October or the middle of November. And that's just the reality of it. That's what practice does. That's what regular season games do is you keep improving. You get better with your timing, your overall execution. So even the teams that might go out and, have a few, highlight type plays, they'll probably be more and better execution as we go forward during the year. I think that's true for everybody.
You've always told me about the fifth game of the season, you understand what type of football team you do have. That's a couple weeks away. All right, if you want to ask the coach a question, just like MAW12 did, you got to follow us on Twitter, @Patriots, hashtag it, AskBB. Bellastrader later in the show, what are we looking at?
Yeah, we'll see a little bit of everything from Tampa. They're very good.
All right, Coach, sounds good. Stay right there. More of All Access right after this, plus the Bellastrader. Don't go anywhere.
Coming up on All Access.
What has Coach Belichick worried about the Bucs? Find out on the Bellastrader.
About a third of the runs against Tampa gain no yards, and about 20% of them go for losses.
But first, we relive the Hall of Fame induction ceremony through the eyes of Teddy Bruschi.
I know it takes a lot for you to get out like that.
Oh, hell no.
I appreciate it.
Not for you.
You're watching Patriots All Access.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots. And by Subway. Any regular footlong is a $5 footlong, all September long. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
Pulled from the pages of Patriots Football Weekly is this interesting fact. For the past 9 seasons, the NFL club with the best one-loss record has not won the Super Bowl. The last team to do so? The 2003 New England Patriots.
This player profile is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
It has been a terrific month or so for Bruschi as he was honored in late July as the 19th player into the Patriots Hall of Fame. Our all-access cameras were behind the scenes for the event.
Congratulations, man. How you been, all right?
Yeah, good.
Congratulations, huh? And looking out into the crowd that day, it encapsulated my entire career.
In the Patriots Hall of Fame, Teddy.
Got here and Randy Zip Pierce was there and I met him, and he was one of the first fans that I developed a relationship with, and to give him a hug as I was walking down the red carpet. I saw my wife and my 3 sons who weren't even born when I started, and friends and family that were there. Everybody was there, and then Coach Belichick and Mr. Kraft. I looked out there and I said, This is pretty much everyone, almost everyone who's been important to me in my career. I just wanted to express in my words as appreciative as I possibly be to everyone that helped me out, especially fans.
I thought about this long and hard too, because I always felt your passion. You could feel your love. You could feel your hate. You could feel it all. Your passion was evident in the stadium, through the radio airwaves, through the TV, through the articles. I could always feel your passion. I love that about all of you.
Bill was there. Matt Patricia was standing there right next to him. And I know how busy they are, and especially Coach Belichick. I know how much he puts into every single practice and every single rep in every single practice. And he also wanted to say something, and he came up on stage.
When I look at the word football player in the dictionary, you just see Teddy Bruschi's picture there.
I'm very appreciative of it. I love giving him a hug afterwards and just telling him thanks for the words.
I know it takes a lot for you to get out like that.
Oh, hell no.
I appreciate it.
Not for you. Hi, Heidi. How
are
you doing?
Thank you so much.
Oh, what a great day.
So kind of
what's up, guys?
Dante?
My wife says I look good in red. So I wish it was bigger, though.
it was bigger because guys like Roman Pfeiffer and Anthony Pleasant, you know, those guys, Bobby Hamilton, those guys that maybe sometimes you forget about, but you needed those guys to win championships, you see. Those type of guys, those are the guys that I'll never forget.
Congrats.
Bill wants me to talk to you guys. So once you know how to do your job, you know what comes next? Helping someone else do their job better. Can you feel that? You understand what I'm trying to say? Because once you got your job down and realize there's another guy struggling, there's another guy that needs a little bit more, there's another guy that needs help, he don't get it, help him. Because when you got 5 guys doing that, then you got 10 guys doing that, then 15 and 20, and then you're all doing your job in your own ways. It's about playing within a team and getting your team to be the best it can be. Your team, not just yourself.
Time now for Turf, brought to you by Gillette. Our guy 4A's back with Zoe. Tampa Bay comes to town. Now, there's a lot of things, a little turmoil going on down in Tampa Bay, and I think it starts with the quarterback position. You played with some winners, you played with some losers, but why do some guys start to get engulfed and worry about everything that's going on around them instead of going out and playing football? A guy like Josh Freeman we're talking about.
Yeah, you start looking at the rush, you're not throwing right. The ball that much, you get sacked, you kind of got to get, you know, kind of get that fear going that you're going to get hit, and you start seeing ghosts. So you stop looking downfield and you start looking at the rush coming right at
you. That's a big thing. And he's a big guy. He's like you and me, you know, 6'4", 6'5", 240. Release point different. Up high, down low. There's no consistency. But if you're Tampa Bay, how do you get him going in this game? You got to be able to run the football,
and,
right?
And Tampa Bay has a great one, the muscle hamster, a.k.a. Doug Martin.
Muscle
hamster.
We're
going to show you. You're going to be Doug Martin. I know you're tall and chubby, but he's short and
squat. I can get compact. I can get compact.
So the key is, the thing is with Doug Martin, is the cutback. He likes to run between the tackles. So the key is going to be the backside linebacker. Right now, we're just going to say I'm Gerard Mayo. Okay, you're Doug Martin.
So you're the Will. I'm Doug
I'm
Martin.
I'm the Will.
I get handoff heading to the left side. Now, Doug Martin's not like C.J. Spiller where he's looking to bounce it outside. His vision, and he's looking for cutback the whole time. Pull guards, get flow going. What's your job as Mayo?
So listen, what I don't want to do is I don't want to overcommit. I don't want to overcommit to a run that's going a backside. What I want to do is play it. I don't want to play too soft, so if he decides to cut it back, I'm not there to make a play. What I wanted, here it comes, I'm keeping my leverage, and then I'm right in position to make the play. Funneling everything inside, making sure that I get my help to my buddies, and they can help me make the play.
Condense
that
run. Condense that run. Put the game in Josh Freeman's hand. Here's your turf. Put it right here.
Later.
I'm Jackie Britton, and it's time to get caught up on some storylines as the Patriots try to go 3-0 with a win over the Bucs this weekend. Will we see the return of number 87 on Sunday? Well, the answer to that question is just as ambiguous as it was last week. Rob Gronkowski's consistent presence at practice is certainly a positive thing, but it may be too soon before we see him back in the lineup. Now, while Tom Brady works to build that chemistry with his young wide receivers, the running backs may need to carry the load along with the defense if the passing game isn't clicking, especially with guys like Darrell Revis and Deshaun Goldson on the field. And when the Patriots and the Bucs face off, there is never a shortage of storylines. The Rutgers blood is strong here in Foxborough, and Bucs head coach Greg Schiano will face many of his former players on the NFL stage this weekend. Now that you're caught up on the storylines, let's jump right into our opponent news brought to you by GEICO.
The opponent news is brought to you by GEICO.
As Coach Belichick has often said this week, the Bucs are 2 plays away from being 2-0. Instead, they are 0-2, and talk has already begun in Tampa about a team going through turbulent times.
Outside these walls, yes, but not in. You know, not for me. Not for this team, I don't think. I think they're just working. You know, we're practicing, we're getting better. We're close. Close isn't good enough. You know, we got to get over that hump. But no. It doesn't affect inside these walls. I know it's noisy outside, I guess. People tell me that, but we're good.
That will do it for your opponent news. Now it's time for the Bellustrator.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Time now for the Bellustrator, brought to you by Putnam Investments. And Coach, Tampa Bay Buccaneers come in. It's a team you've seen before. What are we looking at here defensively for them?
Well, defensively, they're very active with their front four. They do a lot of stunning and some different combinations of blitzes and twists and that kind of thing. And very good against the run. 20% of their over 20% of their runs last year defensively went for negative yardage. And this is the kind of thing we've got to deal with is you know, guys stunting, guys twisting around here. You'll see the same play from the end zone. This is Claiborne here over on the left end. Spence and McCoy inside. You can see they get good penetration, force the runner over here. Claiborne wraps around and makes the hit in the backfield. So about a third of the runs against Tampa gain no yards, and about 20% of them go for losses. So they create a lot of long yardage situation with their run defense. They're very good at it.
Man, really got to get your hat on a hat and make sure you stay on your guy.
Yeah, and not give up a lot of penetration or they'll make it pay for it. Same thing in the passing game. This is the Jets backed up here, and once again, they have a little stunt here where they have the two defensive linemen going to the defensive left, and the linebackers wrapping around to the right. The Jets aren't able to pick it up, strip sack, get the ball on the 5-yard line, set up an easy touchdown for them.
So. Is that a communication thing up front with your center? You got Wendell there, and he's got to be able to see things. You're passing guys off that come across your face.
Well, sure, that's part of it. Part of it's getting the right guy. The other part of it's blocking them, making sure that you get them blocked. So this is Foster, their middle linebacker, shooting up into the line with Spence and McCoy, looping out to the left. And then this is David coming around along with Claiborne. And looks like Foster, is able to come off the block here by Ducasse. There's the strip sack. Got the ball on the 5-yard line. So, defensively, they create a lot of negative plays with their stunts, their pressure, and they're very good football players up front.
All right, earlier I asked you about Doug Martin. Here's a good look at him here between the tackles.
Right, here he is, and he's a good downhill runner. This is a weak side power play where he comes in here, follows the fullback, finds a nice crease there against New Orleans. And then once he gets into the secondary, he's very dangerous. Does a good job of making Vaccaro miss there, or Jenkins miss, and picks up about another 15 yards after the secondary's had a shot at him. So he's a strong runner, tough inside runner, and then very elusive in the secondary. Here's the same play from the end zone. You can see they do a good combination block here with Karimi and Zutaw. They get the defense cut off right there. This is Penn, their left tackle, turning out the end there, and here comes Martin right up the middle, and you can see that's not a pretty picture for the safeties.
Have they shown any read option at all? And I know Freeman's a big guy, but he can move a little bit.
Yeah, they run quite a few bootlegs or moving pocket type plays. Not a lot of option football, okay, though.
All right, moving on here, Vincent Jackson. That's a guy, big guy, 6'5", plays the slot like this. It's hard to stop.
You bet. Here he is in the slot coming back in motion. The Jets have Cromartie on him, who's their best corner, but you can see Jackson slips him right away on a what we call a ram pass there, about a 5-yard quick slant, and now he's got the ball, and so now it's a 35-yard gain. So, this guy is very dangerous down the field as a deep receiver. He's dangerous on catch and run plays like this, where he can take a short play and turn it into a long gain. And, as we saw at the end of the New Orleans game, he had a couple big third down conversions on 3rd and 10, 3rd and 12, where they hit him on, out routes and in routes and seam routes. He's a big physical guy, tough guy to handle.
Seems like we get your hands full there, but you got off to a great start, 2-0. More importantly, 2-0 in the division. Go get them this week.
All right, thank you.
All right, there you go, Coach. There's your Bellustrator. More Patriots All Access right after this.
Hey, I'm Romeo.
And I'm Shauna. And this week on Totally Patriots, Leon Washington kicks off week 3 in Tilted.
I don't believe in reincarnation, but if I were reincarnated, I would want to come back to Lions.
That's right. And we got everybody's favorite, Hatch Chat. We'll get to know your favorite players.
Did you cry while watching Titanic?
No tears came from these eyes.
Join us Saturday morning at 10 on MyTV 38.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Putnam, celebrating 75 years of service to financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. And by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Congratulations to Patriots captain Vince Wilfork. He was honored at the Garden for the annual tradition event. Wilfork was recognized with the Community Service Award that was presented to him by his boss, owner Robert Kraft.
Vince is so special. We're so lucky to have him in our organization. He and Bianca have done so much in the community, and you know, it's nice of the museum to recognize him.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, buddy.
You know, the things that I do, my wife do, when it comes to community is, it's from the heart.
Welcome back to Pitchers All Access, everyone, in our Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. Time now for our panel discussion with Mike Reese and Paul Perillo. And let's start with Tom Terrific, number 12, and his body language. Let's just go with his body language. Forget the way he's playing, just his body language.
Yeah, it wasn't good. And, you know, he was the first one to admit it after the game, which I did like. I like the fact that he recognized it and acknowledged it.
Yep.
However, it doesn't mean that it didn't really happen. And listen, everybody knows, I understand the frustration that he's going through. He doesn't have guys that he's really comfortable with right now. He's searching for it. And let's face it, it's been a long time since this team has scored 36 points in two games. So I get all the frustration, but I just think he needs to do a little bit better job of communicating with those guys rather than sort of showing all of us how frustrated he is.
Yeah, but we all want a fiery quarterback, right?
Well, I think so, Steve, and I think it is competitive fire, and so I think it comes from a good place with Tom Brady. He just wants to win. I think what he needs to be careful with is that he's got young receivers that you're trying to bring them along, and is he making it harder on them by showing this public display of emotion? Because it's hard enough for these young guys as it is, and now they have everyone, you know, asking them the question, hey, Brady's not happy, you know, how are you on the same page? Just got to be careful.
One thing Tom did bring up during the week is that, you know what, he's not always right, and I give him credit for that. But let's reverse it. Suppose one of the receivers did that to Brady, okay, when Brady overthrows Edelman,
right,
and all of a sudden Edelman takes off his helmet and starts pointing at Brady.
Can you imagine the fallout on a guy like Julian Edelman if he had done something like that to Brady? And listen, I know it's not exactly apples to apples. I mean, you know, Edelman doesn't have the MVPs
the
cachet, and the
right,
Super Bowl
rings.
And all of that. But there is a balance here. And I think that there is a constructive way to go about it. And I'm sure Tom does this when we don't see it. But, you know, the play in the end zone to Aaron Dobson, it certainly looked like Tom was expecting one thing. Dobson did another. You know, maybe instead of the histrionics, we get a little bit of instruction on the sideline. Listen, Aaron, we went over this. We saw this. You know this in films. This is the defense we thought they were going to be in. You needed to understand that this is what you need to do. Something like that. And again, we're operating under the premise that we don't have an idea of what the actual assignment was. We're all assuming.
And at the end of the day, let's just boil it down to how do you feel Tom Brady has played for the first 2 weeks of the season? And I think part of it is that he is adjusting to new targets. But I would go to the throw to Edelman at the start of that game. I mean, Edelman was open, and Brady overthrew them. So I think that comes back to what Tom said. Hey, I'm not perfect either. And it's that balance, Steve, that we talk about. And in one respect, look, this isn't Pop Warner. This isn't Tiddlywinks. I mean, this is the NFL. Got to be able to handle some of that. At the same time, did it go too far?
If Gronk is ready to go, he will play. But just your thoughts. The Patriots, you know, especially after coming off last week's game against the Jets, could they be rushing this guy back?
Well, I think that what I would hope is that the results, the previous results, have nothing to do with it. If Gronkowski is healthy and he feels good and they're happy with him and the medical all checks out, then by all means play him. But I don't want to let the fact that the offense has struggled without him influence my decision to play him. I don't have the medical information. I don't know. I'm not evaluating Rob Gronkowski every day. I would assume that they're going to wait until he's fully ready to go.
Yeah, you don't rush him. You
Absolutely.
Don't put too much stock into a Week 3 game against an NFC team. If you have any doubt, Steve, if it's 99.9%, still sit him. It's got to be 100%. We know this is good. We're not putting him at risk. And then we can go forward.
Now, you can say that because they're playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, an 0-2 football team.
But regardless.
More because it's week three of the season, not necessarily the opponent, Steve. This has always got to be about the big picture, especially at this time of year. And a credit to the Patriots, they didn't play that well offensively the first 2 weeks of the season, but they got two wins out of it. So they built themselves some margin for error here.
Prediction time. Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I expect a very similar game to the one against the Jets. Maybe a little bit more scoring. 13-10 is abnormally low scoring for any game. But I look at Tampa Bay. They're the Jets with better weapons. I think they have a much better running back in Doug Martin and terrific wide receivers with Vincent Jackson and Mike Williams. Still the problem at quarterback. I think the Patriots find a way to win. I'll say 24-16.
I've asked myself the question, could this be the sort of Arizona Cardinals game from last year revisited because it's a desperate team coming in at 0-2? But they seem to be in disarray, Steve. A lot of bad penalties for the Buccaneers. So I'll go Patriots 24, Buccaneers 17.
All right, guys. Thank you very much. Hopefully the Patriots will be 3-0 after the weekend. That'll do it for this week's edition of Patriots All Access. For Mike Reese and Paul Perillo, I'm Steve Burton. Have a great week, everyone. See you later.